Page 10 in the English side, the bottom Mishnah. Mishnah says as follows. It says in the Pasuk, Alpi Shanayim Edim, Eshlei She'edim Yumas Ameis. The Pasuk says, based on the testimony of two witnesses or three witnesses, the person could die. Meaning, in order to punish somebody, you need at least two or three witnesses. So the Mishnah says, in Miskayemis or Edis Bishnayim, if two is enough, Lama Parata Kasa Bishlaisha. Why does the Torah say three? The Torah says two or three witnesses. If two is good, what does the Pasuk have to say? Or three. If two is good, three is for sure good. So the Migmar said, the Mishnah says, Lahaki Shlaisha Lishnayim. We're likening two to three. What does it mean? Mashlaisha Mazim and Sashnayim, just like three witnesses, can disqualify two. Avshnayim Yazuma Sagimu. Two witnesses can disqualify three. So in other words, what's the Gemara, the Mishnah saying? The Mishnah saying that two and three witnesses are the same. Just like three witnesses could disqualify two, two witnesses can disqualify three. Then it says, how do I know that even two witnesses can disqualify even 100 witnesses? That means 2 and 100 are the same. Talmud Lemes, it says, Edim. Because it says Edom any amount. So the Gemara, the Mishnah is asking a very simple question. Why does the Torah say two Edis and three Edis? If two is good, three is for sure good. To teach us, we liken two to three. Just like three can disqualify two, two can disqualify three, two can even disqualify 100 witnesses. That's the first opinion. Rav Shimon says no. Mashnaim aim nehdogim achio shneim zeimimin. Just like in order to disqualify, to make Edom zeimimin. Remember, we learned the Gemara last week with Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shatach that Yehuda ben Tabai killed a single Eid Zaymim. And Shimon ben Shatach said to him, hey, you made a terrible mistake because you can't kill until you disqualify both of them. So Reb Shimon says, what does the Mishnah teach? What does the Pasuk teach us? Just like when you have two witnesses, to make them Eidim Zaymim, you have to prove them both no good. If you have three witnesses, you have to prove all three no good. That's what he says. Just like mashnayim em nerogim, just like two witnesses are not killed. Achi shneim zaymim until they're both edim zaymimin. Afshlei she'ein nerogim, the same thing, you can't kill three witnesses. Achi shloshtim zaymimin, until you disqualify all three. Which means, if you have three witnesses and you disqualify two, they're not edim zaymimin. You don't have kosher witnesses, but they're not Edom Zeimimin, that they get the punishment that they wanted to give to the person, unless if you do a hazamah to all of them. And then it says, Minayin afilu meya, how do I know even 100 witnesses, that if 100 witnesses come together, and you want to make them Edom Zeimimin, you have to make all 100 witnesses Edom Zeimimin? Talmud Leimer Edom. Okay? So that's what Rav Shimon says. So Rav Shimon says, And as the Rashi explains, they're not even really arguing. The only question is, do I need the Pasuk for it? The first opinion says, two and three are the same powerful. Two and 100 are the same power. Two can cancel out three. That means, if five witnesses say guilty, and two witnesses say not guilty, two and the five cancel each other out, then there's no testimony. Five is stronger than two? The Torah says no. Even 100 witnesses, as the Gemara uses the expression, terei kameya, two witnesses are as powerful as 100. If two witnesses say, Reuven killed Shimon, and 100 witnesses say, no, Levi killed Shimon. So, logically, I would believe the 100 more than the two. The Torah says no, two and 100 are exactly the same. Two and three are the same, two and 100 is the same. Once you have two, anything above two is not any better than two witnesses. Rav Shimon says, what does the Pasuk teach us of two and three? To teach us, just like by Edom Zeimim of two, you have to make both Edom Zeimim in. If you have three or 100, you have to make them all Edom Zeimim in. Otherwise, you don't have a din of Edom Zeimim in.
What if you make disqualify one out of three? Does it make it non-kosher?
Well, now that's what Rabbi Kiva is going to say. Rabbi Kiva Amer, Rabbi Kiva says, the third witness, so to speak, that the Pasuk is discussing is not coming to make it lenient. V'lasis dina k'yetzi ba'elu. To make him as strict, make it stricter, not easier. Meaning, as the Gemara is going to explain more deeper, what it means is as follows. L'cha'eda, if three witnesses are no good, the three witnesses became Edim Zeimim. The third witness can come along and say, listen, I'm over here a fifth wheel. They didn't need me at the testimony. Why do you want to punish me? I didn't do anything to the testimony. The two witnesses testified. Bezdin accepted the testimony. I'm just additional. Why are you punishing me? So the din is we have punished the guy also. Even though he could say, what do you need me for? I'm just added. The testimony exists without me. And they became Edim Zeimimin. Why do you want to punish me? Rabbi Akiva says he also gets punished because it becomes one unit.
If they come as a group or if they come separately?
The Gemara is going to go into that. 1 second. The Gemara is going to talk about that. Now, and it says, Im Kain on the Shakos Lidl Nitvam, Leiv the Aveda Kevi Aveda, if the Tater punishes the inferior witness, meaning the additional witness, as if he committed the sin himself, Allah has kama v'kama. How much more so? Yishalim schal and neit v'leisim mitzvah kesi mitzvah. A person who helps does a mitzvah, even though you really don't need him. Marshal, you have 9 guys to a minion, and 2 guys walk in. You only need 1 guy to make the minion. So the Torah says, what if a third guy by witnesses gets punished? So when you do mitzvahs, for sure you get reward. So even though they really didn't need you, so to speak, to make dominion, but you came to make dominion, you get rewarded. More than doing an Aveda. And the Gemara says in Saitan, Rashi quotes this Gemara over here, 500 times good is better than bad. Because in Aseres HaDibris, it says, by bad it says, Al-Shileishim V'al-Ribayim L'Sainai. In the Ten Commandments it says, Hashem punishes 3 generations, and 4 generations. By mitzvahs, the pasuk says also in Aseres HaDibros, "Va'ase chesed la'alafim." He does good to 2,000 generations. So by bad, Hashem punishes 4 generations. By good, Hashem rewards 2,000 generations, which is 500 times the amount. So you see that good is better than bad 500 times the amount. So the Rishi is saying, good is what Rabbi Kiva says, if the third extra witness is really extra, and yet he's punished for lying, so you can imagine how much more so when it comes to good. And then he says another thing, and this is a very important din. Rabbi Kiva adds and says as follows, and Rabbi Kiva says a very simple din. Just like if you have 2 witnesses, and one of them is a relative, it's not good. It disqualifies everybody. The same thing. If you find 1 relative and 3, or afilu meya, the whole witnesses is no good. That means if you have 10 witnesses, and one of the witnesses is a relative, all 10 are no good. You're left with 9 kosher witnesses. You're left with 9 kosher witnesses. Rabbi Kiva says this is what the Pasuk is teaching us. 2 witnesses or 3 witnesses, meaning, just like 2 witnesses, if you one of them's a relative, you don't have 2 witnesses anymore. The same thing, 3. Though when one's a relative, you still have 2 kosher witnesses left, they're still no good. And then he says, Afil minayin afil meya, tamalema edim, the Torah says edim. Okay? So therefore Rabbi Kiva adds, why does the Torah say 2 or 3? To teach us an additional din, that edus shebatla miksasa, batla kula. Witnesses, the part of them are no good, all of them are no good.
Does it tell you why relatives are not kosher witnesses?
No. There is no reason. It's exeris hakasuv. In fact, the Mardchai says in Gittin, he discusses over there, Moshe and Aaron, honest Jews, can't get better Jews than them. The fact that the brothers are no good. Even though we learned, if you remember Sunday morning, we learned in Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that talks about, for Kiddush HaChodesh, One opinion in the Mishnah said they are kosher, because the Torah says, Achedish is Elohim, and the Hashem was speaking to Moshe and Aaron. Right? But it's Exeris HaKosov. They say one of the Gerer Rebbes said a word that, you know why brothers are no good? He said, very simple. If they testify for each other, they're biased. I mean, you know, they're not the meshuchad, the bribed, so to speak. If they testify against each other, he said, they're not a mensch. A brother can testify against his own brother, he's not a mensch. And by witnesses, the Torah says, v'am du'shnei anoshim, you need to be two menschen. You need to be a mensch. A guy that can testify against his brother is not a mensch. And for his brother, but basically, this whole medin, everything that we're learning in this Mishnah, is what's called Gzeres HaKos. It's completely illogical. Because logically, 100 is better than 2. 100 is better than 2. Logically, if 10 witnesses are kosher, and one of them happens to be a relative, so just throw him out, and you're left with 9 kosher witnesses. No. All the laws of testimony are illogical mitzvahs. Completely illogical. And that's why, when women have this complaint, that the Torah says, V'am du'shnei anoshim, men and not women, and that's why women are not kosher witnesses in most cases, and women say they think it's because they're no good. It's nothing to do with no good. It's exerced a kosum that this is the law. Why? The Torah doesn't say a reason. It's completely illogical.
And women can't be witnesses.
Right. No, all the laws are witnesses. That 2 and 100 are the same power. I mean, it doesn't sound logical that 2 should be believed as much as 100 witnesses against them. No? I mean, in logic, 100 people, the chayr, is stronger than 2 witnesses.
For women, you could say, for the same reason as they're not bound to keep any mitzvahs.
Yeah, but why can't they testify? We're not saying, God forbid, they're lying. If a woman saw a murder, you're going to tell me she's lying.
So she can't testify?
No. She could testify, she's not kosher.
They knew about PMS.
Why?
About
PMS.
Why can't women testify?
The Torah says he can't.
Oh, they can't?
The Torah says Va'am du'shneho anashim, the two men.
So you got a kosher witness. A woman sees this guy shoot this guy, kill this guy. He can't testify.
Nope.
And no one else sees this guy shoot except this woman.
If Moshe and Aaron saw him, they also can't testify because they're brothers. We said then if David HaMelech is not allowed to be a kosher witness. A king is not allowed to be a kosher witness. If David HaMelech saw a murder, it's not a good witness. David HaMelech, you can't get better than David HaMelech, right? The Chabadnik, par excellence, David HaMelech. Yeah, right. What?
But David HaMelech could put someone to death anyway.
Yeah, but not as a testimony. If somebody rebelled against the king, David HaMelech can kill him. But if Reuven killed Shimon, David HaMelech just can't kill somebody. You need... No, that's not the law. You need witnesses.
See, that's why I feel like Barbara says, what about the regular Jews? Women can testify, right?
No. There's certain times where one witness is enough. Where one witness is enough, then women could testify. As the rule, eight echad nemen be'isurin. Right? I'll give you a simple case. It's very relevant. You go to a restaurant, you go to a bar mitzvah chasana, yeah? You're eating there, right? Right? Because there's a mashgiach. Mm-hmm. What's basically the mashgiach saying? The mashgiach is saying it's a kosher affair. Mm-hmm. He's one witness. He's one witness.
Yeah, that's true.
He's one witness. What type of testimony is that? So the Gemara learns out that Eid Achad Nemen B'Isudin. In Isud and Heter, in kosher and treif, or a sheikh comes along and says, I shechted the animal properly. Yeah? The mashgiach that checks the meat, the inside of the animal to make sure that it's kosher, right? Or glatt kosher, whatever. It's one guy. How do you believe what he's testifying? And you take it an even step further. A guy who's married, goes home for dinner, his wife cooks him a dinner. The question is, how is he allowed to eat? How does he know it's kosher? No, this is discussed. How do you know the food's kosher? The answer is the wife says it's kosher, right?
Leap of faith.
Yeah, but how do you trust a woman? She's not a kosher witness. The answer is, where one witness is believed, relatives are believed, women are believed. It's not a law of testimony anymore. When you need the laws of testimony, in monetary issues and capital punishment and things like that, then it's no good. Now, Rabbi Yossi says an interesting din. Rabbi Akiva just said a statement that 2 in 100 are the same. Meaning, if you disqualify one of the 100 as relatives, they're all no good. Right? Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said, not always. When is this din? That if you disqualify one, you disqualify all. That's bedini nefashis by dinim of nefashis capital punishment. What's that? Capital punishment. Avo bedini maminis, but in monetary issues, tiskayim or edis bishad. It's the witnesses are kosher with the rest. Meaning, what happens if 5 witnesses say Reuven owes Shimon $100, and one of them is a relative? You still have 4 kosher witnesses. You can collect the money. Rabbi Yoimeh, like we said before, no. It doesn't matter if it's money or capital punishment, it doesn't matter. You disqualify one witness, you don't have any witnesses. Even though you can have 100 together. What did you want to ask? A relative to anybody. To each other is no good. A relative to any litigant. For instance, if somebody saw his brother kill somebody or his cousin kill somebody, he's not a kosher witness.
Could a judge also?
Huh?
Could a judge also?
Judge can't be a relative either. Unless if everybody accepts, but not in a capital punishment case, no.
You mean a judge can't be a witness or a relative?
A judge can't be a witness either. No, sorry. A witness can become a judge. A witness ain't aid, not a dayan. An aid cannot become a dayan.
So we learned just on in Gemara Rosh Hashanah that there were a father and a son and an enslaved, and their testimony was taken?
That's what we said, because over there is different, because of Shabbat, of Rosh Chodesh, the Torah says explicitly relatives good. According to that one opinion, we left the two opinions in the Mishnah.
But it was accepted anyways, either if the relatives or there was a slave and his son, or the father, whatever. The conclusion was that the testimony was taken, no matter how you look at it.
Right.
And there but was a relative in it that could disqualify the group.
Yeah. But over there it says, Bekiddush HaChedush, not like that. Because the Torah says, according to that opinion, Hashem is speaking to Moshe now, and you guys can testify.
But even if you take the other opinion, they were still acceptable.
No, they accepted the slave and the guy.
Yeah, but then the
So one second. This is connected to this Mishnah. They must say, though, when, because he's going to say, when, Bizman She Yisru Behen, when the witnesses... Page Vav, 4 lines in the top. They must say, Bizman Shehisru Behem, when the witnesses were the ones that warned the murderer not to do it. I'll explain. Avo Bizman Shehisru Behem, but if they weren't warning the person not to do it, Mayasa Shnei Achim Shero Bechot Shorek Sanafish, what should you do if 2 brothers saw a murder? I mean, the Mishnah says very simple. When are witnesses that become disqualified? If you disqualify one, they're all no good. When each one intended to be a witness. How do you know they intended to be a witness? When they warned the person, don't do what you're doing. Meaning, we're soon going to learn in the Gemara, before you punish somebody, you got to warn them. If a guy, you just watch Reuven kill Shimon, he doesn't get capital punishment. Reuven has to be warned prior, immediately, and the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, which is 3 words. You have to warn the guy right before the murder, you're not allowed to murder the guy. Or if he's desecrating Shabbos, you have to warn him right before the Melacha, you're not allowed to do it, and if you do it, you're going to get killed. Okay? Now, when a guy warns the guy not to do it, that means he's intending to testify. He wants to be a witness, because that's why he's warning the guy not to do it. But he says, if you didn't warn the guy, you just happened to see it, you're not a witness. So the Gemara is saying an interesting concept. When does one witness disqualify all of them, when all of them intended to be a witness? And that, like the Mishnah concludes, what should you do if one guy, there's 100 people watching a murder, and one guy happened to be a brother of one of the other guys, yeah? So you're going to disqualify all of them? No. That's only if he intended to be a witness. How do you know he intended to be a witness, Rashi says? When he warned the guy not to do it. That shows that he's interested in being a witness.
So who's going to be a witness that he warned the guy?
Huh? No, so the other people warned him. Or as the next Mishnah is going to explain, the witnesses didn't have to be the one to warn him. If somebody warned them and the witnesses heard the warning, it's like they warned them too. But that's not like we said, when you have a chuppah, you have a chuppah, and the man is giving the woman, the chosin is giving the kala the ring, and he's saying, Areyat Mekudeshesli, and you need two witnesses there. Yeah, I, under the chuppah, is a father and a brother and an uncle and an aunt and a million relatives are standing under the chuppah. Why is the Kedushin good? So by designating the witnesses, you're saying only these two guys are testifying. I, everybody else watches it, but they're not witnesses. You're excluding everybody else from being a witness.
And you say it too.
And you say it. The best thing is to say it. Technically, if you just designate the witnesses, you say Reuven and Shimon are the witnesses, you don't have to say to the exclusion of all others. People do it because it's clear. You know what I mean? But the fact that you designated two witnesses shows that these are the only two you want to testify. I, everybody standing there, they're not witnesses, and therefore they don't disqualify anybody else.
So this is the basis of the concept that if somebody is doing Avera, and you know it's imminent that he's going to do Avera, you shouldn't tell him, right?
You shouldn't tell him.
Yeah, because he's going to do it anyway, you don't tell him.
It depends. If it's a biblical thing, you have to tell him. If it's explicitly mentioned in Chumash, you have to tell him anyway.
He's not going
to
listen to
you. Yep. You have a mitzvah of admonishing them.
Then you just killed him by doing that.
Huh?
You just killed him by doing it.
Well, if he's killing somebody, what do you want to kill him?
Let's say if he's turned on the light. Don't do that. You know he's going to do it for sure anyway.
You have a halachic obligation to tell him. Yeah?
Is a clone considered a relative?
Cloning.
Oh,
the new question. It's a new question.
In about 20 years, you might have to answer that question.
They're asking it already, yeah?
How do you consider family the same together? Do they have to come together, or they could be one came today, one came, you know?
We'll see in the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah discusses that whole din about how, in order to have two witnesses, they either have to come together, or they both have to see each other.
When they're coming in, or?
No, when they see what happened.
Oh,
yeah, one group. They have to see the act together, that they could see each other.
What if they change? They come and they believe, but then they change their mind. They lied, and they admit that they did. I was reading a story, and they were not believed to say that they lied about it, although they
there's a law in the Gemara, Kivin Shehigit Shuvei Nechezer Omagid. Once he testifies, that's he's not believed anymore to say it. Why? Because a person not believed to make himself a Rasha. Right? If he testified, and then he comes along and says, I'm lying, a person not believed to say he lied. Right? So then he believed in the first testimony.
He never did lie.
Yep. Unless if they could somehow disprove it. There's a famous law dilemma. A moral law which I heard from, what's his name? Alan Dershowitz. Once was speaking at a law convention organized by Chabad. And he was speaking and he said the classic example that they teach in law school, the first moral dilemma, which according to Teir B'chah is a different approach anyway. There's a guy who is sentenced to die for murdering somebody. Okay? There's a guy. And a man comes over to a priest, that's the classic case, a man comes over to his priest and says to the priest, that guy is innocent. The guy that's supposed to die for killing somebody is innocent. The priest says to him, how do you know? He said, because I murdered the guy, not him. I killed him. Now the question is, does the priest have an obligation to tell the court what happened?
No.
Because there is what's called client... lawyer-client privileges or privileges that, you know, it's privacy, I'm not allowed to tell somebody what somebody tells me, but an innocent person is going to die because of it. So what should the priest do? Should he say or shouldn't he say? In Torah law, it's not... No, he didn't say what... But in Torah law, it's not a problem because if a guy says, I murdered somebody, he's not believed. So the guy's not believed anyway to say I murdered. But in civil law, a guy is believed to say I murdered him. So should the priest tell the court that this guy that's being killed is innocent? He didn't kill him because this guy killed him. In Torah law... Huh? I don't know what they do in civil law. In Torah law, it's not guys anyway not believed to say I killed somebody.
So what Alan Dershowitz said.
He didn't say. I'm saying he didn't... Lucheda, according to, if that would be a Torah case that a person is believed to say he killed him, Torah law would say the priest would have to tell, because pikuach nefesh.
But
nah,
is he yeshiva?
Ex yeshiva bachar. What? Truthful, truthful. They're not believed to say you sinned. Between you and God, you have to be do tshuva. Between you and Hashem, if a guy comes to Bezin and says, Bezin, you know, I ate chazer, give me Malkus. Yeah? Bezin says, sorry boy, we can't give you Malkus, you're not believed on yourself. But you did Aveda, you have to do tshuva between you and Hashem.
So could you go and say the guy's innocent?
Yeah, but they're not going to believe you just to say guy's innocent. You can't just come along to somebody who's guilty and say, no, I know he's innocent. How do you know he's innocent? You have to prove it. Okay, so therefore, the long mission over here was basically discussing why does the pasuk say two witnesses and three witnesses? If two are good, three is good. So he says, just say two can ruin three can ruin two can ruin three, it's the same thing. Reb Shimon says, just say Adam Zemi, you gotta ruin both. If there's three, you have to ruin three. Rabbi Akiva says it teaches us that two is like 100. If one of the two is no good, you don't have witnesses. If one of the 100 is no good, it's no good. The Beisi says that only, that says it only applies by nefashis, by capital punishment, not by money. Rabbi says it applies by to both. That means if three people say Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, and one of them was a relative, and all three were witnesses, you don't have any testimony whatsoever. Once he killed one of the witnesses, they're all no good.
But if the testimony of two and 100 is the same.
Same.
Why doesn't Betin in La Tchila begin with more than two of them? You know what I mean? So 100 people.
What should they do if 100 people came?
They trust them and the rest go home?
No, because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, if that's going to be the attitude, people will never come anymore to testify. The Moshe, what it says in the Gemara over there, we just learned this Sunday. Yeah. About Rosh Chodesh, right? If 100, the whole story in Lud, Rabbi Kiva or this other guy held up the witnesses, and then Gamliel said, what are you doing? There were so many witnesses, Rabbi Kiva said, what are you desecrating Shabbos? There's so many witnesses already, you don't have to be more Mechal Shabbos to come to Beis Din. So the Gemara says, yeah, because of you, people will not come anymore. Therefore, the Marshal, the Gemara says, we didn't get to this Gemara yet, but the Gemara says later in Rosh Hashanah, that if 100 witnesses came and they saw the moon, now Beis Din only needs two. What did Beis Din do? They call in the first two. They really check them out well. Once Beis Din sees they're good witnesses, they don't tell the other 98 to go home. They call in each one. But they don't make such a thorough check. They just ask them a few questions to make them feel good. That they should feel needed, that they should come back again. It's like in a minyan. If you tell the guys over 10, we don't need you anymore. So when you need a minyan, they won't show up either. So you have to tell them. Every person had an obligation to go. Okay. Now, Amar Rava said as follows. And this sounds strange until the Gemara explains what it means. Rava said, if you want to disqualify one out of the 100 or part of the 100, whatever, yeah, it has to be She'idu kulam teich kedei dibur. When the Mishnah says 100 is like 2, right? When is 100 like 2? When all 100 testify within the time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Then all 100 are one group. So the Gemara asks, it's impossible for 100 people to say testimony in the time it takes to say three words. Shalom Alecha Rebbe. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Achmi Divta L'Ravina, Mich de teich kedei dibur. Hechi dami, what does teich kedei dibur mean? Kedei she'il is Talmud l'rav. That the Talmud says to the Rav Shalom Alecha Rebbe, which is three words, Me'a tuva hava. How can 100 people testify in the amount of time it takes to say three words? It's impossible. Amalei, he says, no, it doesn't mean all 100 and within three words. Kol chad v'chad b'teich kedei dibur shochaveire. The one group ends and the next group immediately begins. The next person immediately begins. In other words, not all 100 in the amount of time it takes to say three words. Each witness begins within three words of the previous one. And otherwise, and here's the Gemara, it's a very important din though. The Gemara is saying otherwise it's a new group of witnesses. I'll give you an example. If two witnesses come at 10 o'clock, 10:15 another two come, 10:30 another two come, 10:45 another two come, whatever. And then you have, let's say, 10 groups of two. So you have 20 witnesses. And one guy is not kosher, then the whole Mishnah doesn't apply. They're still kosher. It's only the Mishnah says when it's one group of witnesses, even though the group is 100. If you disqualify one, you disqualify all. But if you have 10 groups of twos, that are coming 5 minutes apart even, so then, just because you disqualify one witness doesn't mean you disqualify all the witnesses. Because witnesses could only be disqualified, one can disqualify 100 if they're coming together. So the Gemara says, what does coming together mean? One guy says his testimony, within 2 seconds the next guy begins his, within 2 seconds the guy begins his, in 2 seconds the guy begins his, then it's one group of witnesses. Then if you disqualify one, you disqualify all. But if each group comes separately, 5 minutes apart, 10 minutes apart, each group is a separate group.
If 100 people come in, could one person represent
all? No. Every witness has to speak. And not only does each witness have to speak, they can't write their testimony. It says, Alpi Shnayim Edim, has to be with their mouth. The judge has to hear it directly from the witness. According to law, if a witness testifies on the telephone, it's not a good testimony. Because the telephone is not your voice. It's a mechanically reproduced voice. It's a reproduced voice. So according to Torah law, you can't testify through the telephone.
How about email?
No, sure not. Email. For sure not. And that's why the Gemara says, like you have the famous story of Mordechai, how he knew that Bixen and Seresh are plotting to kill the king because he understood Turkish. Bezdin does not let to even hear through an interpreter. In monetary issues, today they're lenient in it, because Takana or whatever. But in capital punishment, you can't hear it through the interpreter, because then you're not hearing the witness himself.
The Goyes believe Mordechai.
Huh?
The Goyes believe Mordechai, that's why I put those two together.
Yeah, but Mordechai understood the language straight. Why did he understand Turkish? Because the big Bezdin had to have members that understood all languages. Between them, they had to understand all the languages. Because they had Jewish witnesses coming from all around the world, and they couldn't hear it from an interpreter. In fact, there's a famous question that the Rishonim ask, how could you sign a document of witnesses, like you sign a ksuba, i.e. the person mipihem, it has to be the mouth, not the mipiks of them. So what it answers is, it's a rabbinic decree by monetary issues that you should be able to write it.
Oh, wait, every member of Bezdin has to know all the
languages?
No.
A bunch of them. Pashi, you move most of 70. Okay, now the Gemara is going to ask a very devious question. The Gemara says any murderer will never be able to be killed because he saw himself kill him and he's not a kosher witness. Why doesn't that disqualify all the witnesses? The Gemara is going to have a very simple question.
He doesn't come and testify.
A murderer does a murder. Does he see him kill? He sees a guy kill? He sees himself kill? Is he a relative to himself? Why doesn't he disqualify all the other witnesses because he's part of them? Huh? But he says, I want to witness it. He's smart. He knows how to learn. And he knows if he becomes disqualified, he disqualifies all the witnesses. So the guy come to Bez and say, listen, I testified that I killed. So then all you guys are not kosher witnesses anymore. Because they disqualified me from the group of 10. Huh? That's the Gemara's question. What? Okay, we'll see it inside. Rabbi Kiva Emer, Rabbi Kiva says, Libosh Lishi, Mashnaim. Okay, so basically Rabbi Kiva is saying, just say two, if you disqualify one, it's no good. So if you have 100 or 3, whatever, and you disqualify one, they're all no good. Amalei Rav Papa La'abaya, so Abaya, Rav Papa said to Abaya, Elamiyata Hora Yatzel. He asked the question first in one way. The guy that got killed, should be able to save himself from the thing. Why? Because the guy that got murdered saw himself getting murdered, right? He saw himself getting murdered. He's not a kosher witness anymore. So if he's not kosher, all of them shouldn't be kosher.
But he's dead.
But before he got killed, he was automatically disqualified. So the Gemara answered, Shahar Gumi Achurav, they killed him from the back, he didn't see Taka the murder.
They come from the front end.
Meanwhile, the Gemara's not finished yet. The Gemara, according to this answer, you're right.
This is too complicated. I'm not
savvy enough. The Gemara is asking a very simple question. The guy that got killed, here, first of all, he brings down over here, the murdered man, is invalid witness for two reasons. Number one, he hates the guy that killed him. And you can't testify for a guy you hate. And he's a principal in the case. Okay? Now, if he's a principal in the case and he's a relative, he disqualifies everything. So my answer is no. He killed him from the back, so the guy that got killed didn't see himself get killed.
And if he got killed from the front?
Then it would black now, right now? In the Gemara, he would talk and be disqualified everybody.
Yeah, but a dead person can be a witness. No,
but so what? Now he's dead. Now, so the Gemara answers, so the Gemara says, Nirba Yatzil. Nirba is if it's a story of homosexuality. No, the guy that got lived with, so it says, Shadavim Yachurav, he got it again from the back, so he didn't see it. So the Gemara says, "Heidig v'revi yatzilu." So if so, the guy that kills, the Gemara's question, and the guy that did the Aveda, they should cancel out the witnesses because they saw it happen, right? They're witnesses, and they're disqualifying themselves and everybody else. Ishtik, he kept quiet. He didn't have an answer. So the Gemara has a very simple question. The guy says, the guy that's killing, the murderer should disqualify everybody else from being kosher witnesses. He saw the murder. And he's a Rasha. He's not a kosher witness. He should automatically disqualify himself. And disqualify all the other witnesses. So he asked him to go, Ishtik. He kept quiet. So the Gemara says, Kiyosu l'kame de Rava. When the same question, Abaye didn't know what to answer. When they came to Rava, Amalei Rava said to Rav Papa, what you said really. Yakum Davar b'mekayme Davar akosim medaber. Yakum Davar means what? Huh?
That was a message to marketing.
And the first one? The first one? Okay. So the Gemara answers as follows. Really, you said, Shlomi, you said it before, this answer. He's not a witness. He's making it happen. A witness is one who testifies that it happened, not one who is making it happen. So the Gemara says, he's not a witness, the murderer. He's one of the litigants. And the Torah says, Al pishnayim edim yakum davod, meaning the one that make it happen, who established the facts, not to participate in the matter. And therefore the Gemara says, not the murderer is kosher, not the guy that got murdered is kosher, And the Gemara, according to this, it doesn't matter if it's in the front or in the back. The Gemara says he's not a witness. He's only testifying it happened. Now, here's another interesting concept with witnesses. There's two different types of witnesses. There's a witness that makes something happen, and there's a witness that verifies something happened. For instance, if Reuven kills Shimon, the Edom don't make the murder. They just verify that a murder happened. If two witnesses say, Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, they're not making the loan. They're testifying that it happened. If Reuven and Shimon both agree that the loan took place, you don't need witnesses. These are called Edei Birur. Edei Birur means they are mevarer, they verify that the thing happened. There's another type of witnesses, and that is they called Edei Kiyum, that the witnesses make it happen, and no witnesses, there is no action. For instance, if a man and a woman go into a room, nobody's around, the man gives a woman a ring and says, "Ariat mekudeshti betabazu kedas meishav Yisrael." He gives her the ring for kedusha. They come out of the room. They both agree it happened. It is not a kosher kedusha. Why not? They both agree it happened. What's the problem? So the Rogachova learns that Edim, by kedushin and by get and by such things, it's not that they verify that the kedushin took place. Because if that's the case, if both parties agree, what's the problem? And the Gemara says, if you do kedushin without edim, it's not at all. There's not even a doubt that the kedushin is valid. So the Rogachova explains, these witnesses by kedushin and by get are not to verify it happened. They are part of the procedure. Just like the man has to give the woman something, that's the procedure. The procedure is that two witnesses watch it happen. It's not to verify it, it's to make it happen. Other witnesses, like we're talking about over here, are basically to verify it happened. If Reuven and Shimon both agreed that he lent them $1,000, you don't need witnesses. If a guy says that I eat chazer, you don't believe him because he's a Rasha. He's not believed to testify against himself. But you need two witnesses not to make the fact that he ate chazer. The witnesses verify that he ate chazer. If he admits it, why isn't it good? Because he's not believed to say on himself that he sinned. Kedushin and Gittin, the witnesses don't verify that it happened. They make it happen. That's a big difference in the types of witnesses. Because by kedushin, if the husband and wife both agree that they gave each other, that the husband gave the wife a ring, it's not even a doubt of kedushin. Nothing. Because you need witnesses to make it happen. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Abayesi, Bamedvan, the Mishnah said a din, that the witnesses warned the guy. So then you know they wanted to testify. But otherwise, what should you do if two brothers saw a murder? So the Gemara says, Amar Abayesi, Amrinalu. So the Gemara said, what do you tell the witnesses to know if they wanted to testify or not? So Amar Rava said as follows. This is what Bezin says to the witnesses. Lemerze isisu? Did you come to see the wedding, so to speak, to see it happen? Or lasu de isisu? Or did you come here to testify? Why did you come here? Did you come here to see what's happening? Not to Bezin. Why did you go to the place that you did? Did you go to see it, or you went to testify? He says, if they came to say we came to testify, then if one of them is no good, Edus is no good. Then, because they're the relatives. And they all came to testify. But But if they see, if they say we just came to watch, you know, there's a commotion, we came to see what's going on, then it's kosher. Why? Because Mayasif Shneachim should obecha shadaksanaf. What should we do if two people's brothers saw somebody kill somebody? So one brother, let him not come to Bezdin. Let one brother come with another guy to testify. So Bezdin asked the guy very clearly, did you come to testify? Or didn't you come to testify? If you came to be a witness and to testify, one of them's no good, they're all no good. Otherwise not. Now, what would Bezdin do? If two witnesses come to Bezdin, one of them's a brother, Bezdin would say to him, did you come to testify or not? And he said, no, I just came to see it. Yeah? So Bezdin would keep one kosher brother and wait for another witness to come. And if another kosher witness comes, then you have two kosher witnesses. Otherwise, Bezdin can't do anything. Yeah, but we're going to learn in the next few lines that the witnesses, if they saw each other, we'll soon see exactly what makes them kosher witnesses or not. You might imagine a few minutes. Itmar Ramer Rav Yehuda Meshmol Alocha Krabiesi. Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmol, the Alocha is like Krabiesi, that only by monetary issues, I'm sorry, by nefashas did they become disqualified, not by monetary issues. And Rav Nachman says Alocha Karebi. The Alocha is a Karebi. Huh? Yeah, there's a small letter next to the that shows that that's the way the Rambam paskins. Okay, Amid Beis Mishnah. Now the Mishnah is going to discuss when the two witnesses join as one unit and one not. So it says, Ha Yishnaim Reinei Simichalein Zeh. If two witnesses see a murder take place from one window, and two witnesses see the guy from a different window, and one guy is testifying, I mean, warning them in the middle. That means, give you an example, there's a backyard, okay? Two guys see from one house, two guys see from another house, and there's one guy in the middle screaming at the guy, don't kill him. Okay? So then the din is, when some of them can see one another, and we'll soon see what that means. That at least some of us should learn, one witness from each group can see at least one witness in another group. That part of them can see part of them. The din is, Hare elu edus achas. It's one group of witnesses. What's the difference? You have two witnesses anyway. If you want to do hazama, if you want to disqualify the witnesses, if it's one group, then you have to disqualify four people. Vim lav hare elu shtei edus. And if not, they can't see each other, it's two separate groups. Balafikach, therefore, im nimtze achmiam ze memes. Therefore, if one of the two groups that cannot see each other become Edom Zaymimin, who vehein erogim, they get killed, Vashni and the second group, too, is parted.
Is it possible that one group is right and one is wrong? If they're testifying on the same two people and the same person.
What?
Is it possible that one group is right and one group is wrong if they're testifying on the same exact person?
Yeah, but two groups... Well, they say, Monday morning we saw him kill him in the backyard, right? Another group says, you two guys were with us in Hawaii Monday morning. How did you see him? Now, these two witnesses, though, are still kosher. Correct? So they testify that this guy killed him. So he gets killed, plus they become Edom Zaymim. Which, by the way, is a very strange din. Do you know what the Mishnah is saying, basically? Group A, Group B, sees Reuven kill Shimon. Yeah? And group A doesn't see group B. So it's two separate groups. Yeah? Now group B became disqualified as Adam Zaymimin. And somebody went over to group B and said, you guys are with us in Hawaii. But group A is still kosher. Because it's not one group, it's two separate groups. Right? Now, they testify kosher, so the guy, Reuben's going to get killed by Beis Din. And those two, group B, is going to get killed for being Adam Zaymim. But the fact that we learned, when they testified, the guy didn't have his sentence yet. Like we learned the last time. So therefore, they're going to get killed. So the murderer is going to get killed because of the kosher testimony. Plus, they're going to get killed for lying. No good.
Why not?
They have to see it happen. I'm serious. They have to see it happen. They have to see it with their own eyes.
It would make sense if group A testifies that
they happen.
Group B also
should be
maybe the third group.
But the Torah says Adam always believed the last group. Adam Zaymon, again, doesn't mean that Reuven didn't kill Shimon. They said, we don't know. Maybe it did happen. But you guys were with us in Hawaii.
The ones that did say we
group A testified kosher and they've proven to be legitimate witnesses. And they testified Reuven killed Shimon. They're believed. So far in the Mishnah, it said two witnesses, and the warner in the middle. That means the witnesses don't have to be the ones warning. But Amen, Rabbi Yisi Amir says no. Le'elam ein nehadogim, they can't be killed. At you shnei aid of Masrim Bey. The two witnesses have to be the one warning him. Why? Because it says al pi shnayim aidim yakum davar. The two witnesses have to warn the guy not to do it. Davar achad, another interpretation, and this is what we said before. Al pi shnayim edim shleiten Sanhedrin shemes mitpiyatu miturgimin. Beis Din cannot hear testimony from an interpreter. They have to understand the languages of the witnesses speaking, because the Torah says al pi shnayim edim, and therefore you can't write it. You can't listen through an interpreter. You can't listen through a telephone. You can't hear closed circuit testimony like they do today in the courts. This is all not kosher.
Is that directly minatera?
Directly minatera.
Can't do a microphone.
Nope. Can't do it through a microphone either. Huh? I'm sitting there. No, I'm answering your question. You can't do it through a microphone either. Because the microphone is, again, not your original voice.
What if even if he warns them through a microphone, a loudspeaker?
No good.
You stand in a stadium and see the guy killing him, don't kill him.
It's not called warning. In fact, you know that a lot of times under the chuppah the rabbis are taking even to another extreme with the brachas, but that's lav dafke. But when the chassan says to the kalareyat mekadeshesli, they either put their hand over the mic, the rabbi will either put his hand over the mic or turn it away, because he wants the kala to hear it directly from the chassan, not through the mic. Some rabbanim take it even further. They will not even say the brachas into the mic, because they want the chosin and kala to hear the brachas straight from the horse's mouth, as the expression goes.
But we could still say amen to that.
Yeah. Sure. There's a letter from the Rebbe. What happens if a husband wants to give his wife a get, and he says over the telephone to the sefer, because the din is the husband has to tell him to write a get, or he has to make a shliach to write a get. So what happens if the husband calls up the rabbi and says, okay, give my wife a get? I mean, write the get. It's no good.
You have to tell the guy in person.
Huh?
You have to tell him in person, right?
You have to tell him in person. So therefore, if a guy's in jail and they want to give a get, if they can't write the get, there are times they went to jail and they wrote the get in the prison.
you know, because the guy can, the court's not gonna let him out to go right again. So either you bring everybody, the lady and the husband, I mean,
you
the everybody,
seen it?
Huh?
You ever seen it?
I haven't seen it personally, but I know cases where it happened. What they do is called kisfu tenu, that a bezdin goes into the jail, and the husband tells the bezdin clearly, with his own mouth, he says, I want you to go write a get, and they sign it as a bezdin, that he told them to write a get, and they become a shliach to write the get, and they go write the get.
But actually, the woman doesn't need it. He can get if he goes to a jail anyway, right?
No.
Go to jail?
With Monopoly, go to jail? It's not... She doesn't automatically get a get because she went to jail.
He can't go to bezdin and say he's not supporting him, he's in jail.
That doesn't dissolve the marriage.
Only he can dissolve it, right?
Huh? He has to give a get, sure. Because if a husband runs away, it's not a get.
But in other hardships, like if he beats her up or something.
Bezdin can force him to give a get, but it's not a get until he gives it. Can't.
So he's not kosher?
No. Al pishnaya made him, he has to speak. That's the halacha, that a person who can't speak can't be a witness.
So the guy can't speak, but he witnessed the whole thing.
God obviously didn't want kosher witnesses there. God has his way of running the world. Yeah, he's not believed.
He's not believed. Now after 2 days, is the din for that case? Do we go back to the beginning?
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, that is to aid.
No, once because you said once you let somebody.
No,
take it back.
No, but Bezdin never said no. They just said we don't believe you. They never paskined that he didn't commit the murder. They don't believe him, but they never just said that he's innocent. He's like non-existent. So if 2 days later, two kosher witnesses come and say he did kill the guy, then Bezdin will judge him. No, it's not, because you know what? If that's the case, every murderer, the second he commits a murder, will run right away to Bezdin. And say, Bezdin, I did it, and off, it's finished. It's not going to work. Right. Bezdin says, we don't believe you. Your testimony is worthless. But that you're not innocent either, you're nothing. Now two witnesses come and say, you did the murder.
So how do you get to the concept of murder and mikta?
That's only by money. By money, yeah, not by sins.